Joshua chapter 3. So, like I said, it's Memorial Day tomorrow. A lot of us will be, a lot of us are celebrating today, and that's great that we're able to do that. And like I said, a lot of people are out of town because of that. And, but I want to tell you a little bit about Memorial Day first, because being a veteran myself, it concerns me when people don't understand the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. And but Memorial Day, different from Veterans Day, Memorial Day is a day that we celebrate the those who, that's the day that we use to celebrate someone who has fallen in battle or given the ultimate sacrifice for their country. Veterans Day, that's when we recognize the service of those who have served. But Memorial Day is the day that we reserve for those who have died in their nation's wars or in service for their country. And so Memorial Day originated during the Civil War. When people used to place flowers on the graves of those that had died in battle, this may sound familiar, it was originally called Decorations Day. That's why it was called. That's where we get that now, but after World War I, it became known as, it was used to observe all of those who had died in U.S. wars. So the name was changed to Memorial Day, and it's always been the last Monday in May. And but the main thing I want us to talk about today, as we approach Memorial Day, is that it is a day of remembrance, and there's a lot of things that are significant in our lives. And there's different ways that we remember them. We've got different ways of remember them. We remember the first time we may remember the first time or on our first date when we were with the person that we knew that we would spend the rest of our lives with. A lot of us may remember that. We remember those things, and I remember Dana and I had been dating for a while, and then it was. One time I just knew, all right, this is who I'm going to be with forever now. It wasn't the first date. It was a little while afterwards, you know. And some of y'all, maybe y'all knew it the first date. I don't know. But we remember those things. And we remember good times, or we remember special events. And there may be something that causes us to remember that. Maybe it's a certain date or a certain location or a certain time of the year that causes us to remember things. I mean, and when I say that, I mean I remember things good or bad, and it could be any kind of things. We sometimes they're not the best of memories, right? Sometimes they're not the best of memories. As we remember loved ones that we've lost, friends or family. We approach a certain date, or we go to a certain place, and it's just a significant event. And there's something, some place or something serves as a memorial to us, and that's what causes us to remember those things. But good or bad, it's good to just be able to remember, right? And you know, in the Bible, we see many lessons. God teaches many lessons in the Bible to us, and He wants us to remember things. And there's different ways that He instructs His prophets. There's different ways that He instructs the teachers to help His people, to help His children to remember their history and to remember lessons. We see this throughout the Bible, the ways that God has delivered them and not only delivering them, but also delivered us, and through His grace and His mercy. And God wants us to remember those things. And I would hope this morning, and that you would remember how God saved you. If you're a child of God this morning, that you would remember remember the day that He saved you. We were talking about this in maybe it was in here, I can't remember, but some of those of us who are Christians, we tend to remember the day we were baptized, what it was like, what was the water like. You know, was it cold? Was it hot? Was it in a lake, or was it in the baptistry? And You know, those are things good to remember because it causes us to reflect on the time that God saved us and the day that we gave up our lives to Jesus. And there's just different ways that He instructs us and he teaches us also. Today we're going to look in the book of Joshua and we're going to remember some of the ways that God reminded Israel about how He delivered them to the promised land. Because you know what? One thing that we need to always remember is God always keeps His promises. Amen? God always keeps His promises, and we can remember that as we honor Him, even on this Memorial Day that's designed for us to remember those that gave their life to protect this country. But maybe we could just use every day as Memorial Day for us to remember how God saved us, how He created us, and how Jesus gave His life for our sin. So we're going to be looking in Joshua chapter 3 this morning. So we're going to read from that. As we look at that this morning, we're going to see here that this is right before in chapter 3. This is right before Joshua led the... remember, Moses had passed. Joshua had taken over. And he was in charge. God had placed Joshua in command of the Israelites. And he was getting ready to do what God had commanded him. And he told the people what to do. He told them when they saw the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord your God, and he saw the priest, he told them to give them room, that there should be a space between you and them of about 2,000 cubits, which would have been about 1,000 yards. And he said the reason for this was because they had not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, to sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua told the priests, he told them to take the Ark of the Covenant and cross before the people. So they took the Ark of the Covenant and they went before the people. And then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I'll begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, so that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. So let's stand. We're going to start reading in verse 9 of chapter 3. And I decided I'd start reading in verse 9 so y'all wouldn't have to stand so long. But we're going to start reading out of verse 9 of chapter 3 of Joshua. And it says this. It says, so Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over Jordan, that with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark of the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. And so the waters that went down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, or the Dead Sea, failed and they were cut off. And the people crossed over the opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, and it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Jordan that or that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, 'Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priests' feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge where you lodge tonight.'" Verse 6 says this, "That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever." This is God's word. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for life. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can read it and we can honor you, and that we can remember, God, your promises. And Father, we ask you, Lord, to bless the reading of your word. And we pray, Lord, that we can learn from it today, that we can hear you speak from your word. Thank you, God, for loving us and saving us. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So here we read as we read this, whether young or old, we all have a tendency to forget things, right? So we have a tendency to forget things, whether it's important dates or engagements or people we're supposed to meet. I know I'm terrible at it sometimes. Oh man, I forgot that was tonight. But we'll forget trivial things. Or my wife gets on me because I forget the stuff that's important, and I remember the stupid stuff lots of times. I'm bad to remember trivial things that don't really matter. She tells me all the time it's just wasted space. You know, it's just taking up space up there to where I forget the things that I should remember. And one of those things. We forget the things that we should remember, and we forget the things we should remember and remember the things we probably should forget. But we can often forget to say please. We forget to say thank you or I love you or I'm sorry in these situations. And in our relationships, we do things that'll help us remember. We make vows, right? I mean, those of us that are married, we wear a wedding band, right? When I look at that wedding band right there, I remember a couple of things. I remember that's my grandfather's wedding band. And I remember that I put that wedding band on the day I married my wife, and it was on December 23rd, 1995. You know, we're closing in on 30 years this year. But I remember it because I have that thing. It's something tangible. And sometimes we do that. We build memorials, don't we, to help us remember things so that we don't forget. And we do those things. And in Israel's relationship with God, they were commanded to remember God over and over and over. If you ever read the Old Testament, Israel just had problems remembering the gifts that God had given them and the things that He had done for them and the ways that He had provided for them. In Israel's relationship with God, they were commanded to remember God. In Exodus 12:14, God established the memorial of the Passover to help them remember that. It says, and here in Joshua, we see these memorial stones that were placed when they crossed over the river Jordan, that God had promised to lead them into the promised land. And He did it. And that's why He told them to build this up here. In Ecclesiastes 12:1, it says this, "So remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of adversity come, and the years approach when you will say, 'I have no delight in them.'" Why do we want to teach our young people to remember things? You know, that's what they said here when they crossed the Jordan. So when the children ask, "What are these stones for?" that you can tell them that's when God fulfilled His covenant. And that's why we should teach our young people today. We should raise them up in the teachings of the Lord. We should read the Word of God to them day and night. We should make it part of something where they can remember these things. And it's also so we can remember them. We need to make it a habit of doing this, these things. The word remember here in Ecclesiastes means to focus on and to reflect with love and devotion. As we establish memorials in our lives, our children, our young believers will ask, what do these stones mean? And sometimes we do the same thing. What does it all mean? We have people that are grown and ask us that, right? What does it all mean? Well, that's why we establish memorials in our lives to help us remember. And I think in this passage here, this passage of Scripture in Joshua, that we can see three things in here that God wants us to remember. And I think the first thing is God's action. We need to remember God's action. In the Bible, it says in Joshua 3, 15 and 16, now the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the harvest season. But as soon as the priest carrying the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water at its edge, and the water flowing downstream stood still, rising up in mass that extended as far as Adam, a city next to Zarethan. The water flowing downstream into the Sea of the Arabin, or the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, and the people crossed opposite of Jericho. Why would God point out this, that this is the time of year when the banks overflow? Why would He choose this time of year? Why wouldn't He choose the time of year when the Jordan was flowing at its lowest level? That would make things easier, wouldn't it? Well, I'll tell you why. He picked this time of year so that there would be no question as to God's power. You know, all this water flowing, God Himself cut it off. He cut it off so that his children could cross over into this land that He had promised them. If you look at it, God brought Israel to Jordan at this specific time, and He brought them to this specific place. And I'll tell you, it's because He wants us to understand that too. He wants us to understand that any victory, any barrier crossed, any battle won, comes by way of His power. It's His action on our behalf. Why is that so important? If God can do this here, what can He do in other places? If He can stop a river from flowing at its highest flowing rate during the year when it flows the most, what else can He do? What else can He do in our lives? How can He solve the issues we've got going on? When a loved one passes away, or when we get a terrible disease, remember, He moves into action if we just follow Him. When God calls us to adopt children or to take care of children that aren't our own, remember, He moves into action if we just follow Him. When He calls us to go across the ocean, across the country, or across the state, or across the street, we need to remember He moves into action if we just follow Him. When He calls us to give generously of what we have, even until it hurts, we need to remember that He moves into action if we just follow Him. When we lose our job, when we lose our retirement, when we lose anything, we got to remember that He moves into action if we just follow Him. And when He told Israel to walk across the River Jordan, they moved into action because they were following Him. We just got to follow Him, church. It's just that simple. We've got to follow Him. We got to remember that God moves into action when we follow Him. So I don't know what He might be calling you to today. You just got to remember that He's going to move into action if you'll just follow Him. So we've got to remember God's action. We got to remember God's promise. How do we do that? Well, We experience His promise through obedience. We experience His promise through obedience. And in Joshua 3:5, it said this. Joshua said this. He told the Israelites to consecrate yourselves. Now, what's that mean, consecrate yourself? You have to understand, it's not about cleaning yourself up to make you acceptable to God. You can't do that on your own. You got to understand that. It's not it's not making yourself to be acceptable to God or qualifying yourself to be in His presence. God, so in this, like in this case, God's already qualified Israel. He's already done that. He's now calling them to live in a way that welcomes His presence. He's asking them to, he's asking them to live in a way that accepts the blessing of the land that He's prepared for them. James, we can read in James chapter 4, verse 8, it says this. It says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded people. If we're to experience God's presence, then we need to depend on His power to cleanse us. It's His forgiveness that cleanses us. We can't do it on our own. I cannot be righteous apart from Jesus Christ. We cannot be clean apart from Jesus Christ. That's why we've got to draw ourselves closer to Him. We've got to allow Him to draw us into Himself is what we need to do. If we and you know what? If you're hung up on little issues, hung up on something He said, she said, if you're hung up on something that's going on in your life, you're never going to get close to God. You got to give it up. You got to give it up. We've just got to get rid of these little issues in our hearts that we think that we've got to take care of. Things that we got, because we're just never going to be able to accept God's promise with those things weighing us down. We've just got to get close to Him and allow Him to cleanse us. We've got to remember His promise to us and move to accept His promise. In verse 7 and 9 of our text, it says that God told Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel. So they will know that I will be with you just as I was with Moses. Command the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the water, stand in the Jordan. What Joshua tell the Israelites after that? He told them, come closer and hear what God has said. Hear what the Lord has told us. Listen to the words of the Lord your God. And that's what we've got to do. We've just got to move toward Him. If we want to be acceptable, if it's just like this point here. Joshua is moving to accept His promise. He is trying to do the same thing. He is trying to purify himself. He is trying to consecrate himself too. And he can't do it without God. That's why God said, today I'm going to begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so they will know that I'm with you. I'll tell you, there's one more guy that's in the book of Joshua that I really like. One of my favorite characters in the book of Joshua. And he did this same thing. He remembered God's promise. He remembered and he consecrated himself. He moved closer to God in preparation to accept God's promise. And that was Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. We read about him in Joshua 14 and 6 through 13. And this is just like a subsection here of accepting God's promise there, then in this one point, remembering God's promise. But you can read about his story in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Some of you may remember this. It says that God told Moses to send men from each tribe into Canaan and told them to come back and give a report to the people. So two of these men were the guy we already been talking about, Joshua. Was Joshua, and he was part of the tribe of Ephraim, and Caleb, who was part of the tribe of Judah, plus the other 10 guys. The other 10 men who were from the other 10 tribes. So Moses told them where to go, and told them what to see, told them what they needed, wanted to know whether the people who dwelt there were strong or weak or little or big, wanted to know how they lived, if they lived in camps, if they lived in strongholds, wanted to know what kind of land was there for raising crops, what kind of animals were there, all kinds of stuff, whether the land was rich or poor. And Moses told them all this, and he told them to be of good courage and to bring some of the fruit from the land. So about 40 days, so they left and they went into the land, and for 40 days the men, after 40 days, the men came and gave their reports to Moses and Aaron. They brought back fruit, and they said the land was good. It was flowing with milk and honey, but the people there were strong and the cities were fortified, and it's a land that devours its inhabitants. That was the report that they gave back. That's the report that the other 10 gave back. Joshua and Caleb come back and stood up in front of the rest of Israel and said, it was a good land. And they told them to remember God's promise, that God had promised to give them this land, and He will give that to us. And that's what we see here with this story of Caleb. He said, if the Lord delights in us, He will remember, He will bring us into this land and give it to us. We've got to remember something, church, that we serve a God who keeps His promises. Amen? We serve a God who keeps His promises. So because of Caleb's obedience, God promised to bless him with the land he went into. So fast forward 40 years now after they've gone in and scouted out the land. It's 40 years later. And at the time, Caleb was, it's 45 years later. At the time, Caleb was 40 years old. Now he's 85 years old. And he's standing in front of Joshua. Moses is gone. And he's telling him, hey, remember what Moses promised me? That's what he's doing. And in Joshua 14:6, it says this. It says, you know what the Lord promised Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the Lord's servant, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to scout the land. And I brought back an honest report. My brothers who went with me caused the people to lose heart. But I follow the Lord, my God, completely. And on that day, Moses swore to me, the land where you have set foot will be an inheritance for you and your descendants forever, because you have followed the Lord my God completely. So I think the first thing that Caleb declares here is he declares that I remember and I believe. And he's saying, what's he saying that he believes? He's saying he still believes that God will bring them to victory in this land. He still believes that God has given them this land, and he still believes that because he has followed God completely, he and his descendants will continue to follow God in this land. Let me ask you something, church. Maybe one thing you've got going on, if you've got some issues going on in your life, let me ask you this. Do you still believe God today like you believed him one time before? Do you still believe that God does the things that he says he'll do, that you believed when you first surrendered your life to him? Or have you become apathetic? Have you become cynical? We see a lesson here from Caleb. Hey, he still believes the same thing now that he believed 40 years ago. That he still knows that God is doing it, and he remembers that, and he believes that. In verse 10 of chapter 14 of Joshua, it says, as you see, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years as he promised. Since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel was journeying in the wilderness, here I am today, 85 years old. So what's Caleb declare here? He declares, I remember and I'm here. He's saying, I'm here. And I remember. He's saying that even after 40 years of roaming in the wilderness, I'm still here. He's saying that I'm 85 years old, and because I'm faithful to God, I'm still here. And he's saying that God has been faithful to me, and I am here. And because of God's promise, I'm here. Amen. Some of you are here today. You may be wandering around. I go and visit folks, and they say, Jay, I don't know why I'm still here. It's because of God's promise. You got to remember God's promise. Look, what Caleb's saying here, he says, I'm 85 years old. And I'll tell you the next thing we read here in verse 11. He says, I'm still as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me out. My strength for battle and for daily tasks is now as it was then. So what's Caleb declaring here? The third thing Caleb is declaring. He is declaring, I remember and I'm strong. He's saying, I may be 85 years old, but I'm as strong as I was 45 years ago. He's saying that he is as ready for the task of the Lord now as he was 45 years ago. How many of you are still as ready now for the task of the Lord as you were back years ago when you made a promise to him or when he made his promise to you? You know, I told y'all before about, I know I talk about it a lot, but I'm telling you, Honduras was a big trip for me last year. And I went on that trip with Miss Bonnie Rogers, 85 years old. She just turned 86 2 weeks ago. Her husband had passed a few months ago last year, and she said, "You know what? I want to go to Honduras." And she went to Honduras. I got pictures of Miss Bonnie swinging a hammer, driving nails in the buildings, in the homes that we were building for people in Honduras. I don't want to hear you're too old. I'm sorry. That sounds mean. But I don't want to hear you too old. Now, I understand if you got health issues or physical issues, but I don't want to hear you too old. Because God has a mission for all of us. If you're still breathing life, He still has a promise for you. He still has a promise for you. And He still has strength for you. He wants you to remember, and if you're still here, you need to remember that you're still here, and you need to remember that you're strong. Some of you may just need to find your strength. In verse 12 of Joshua 14, he says, "Now give me this hill country the Lord promised me on that day, because you heard then that the Anakim, or giants, are there, as well as large fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out as the Lord promised." Then in verse 13 it says, "Then Joshua blessed Caleb the son of Jephunneh and gave him Hebron as an inheritance." So the fourth thing that Caleb declares here, he declares that "I remember and God is with me." I remember and God is with me. He's saying that even though we'll be fighting in the hill country, God is with me. He's saying even though we'll be fighting giants, God is with me. And he's saying even though this city's fortified, God is with me. Even though all of these things, God will be with me, and I will drive out these people because that's what the Lord has promised. He's saying that I'm coming, and all my descendants are coming with me, and God's coming with all of us. That's what he's saying. You may be wondering, well, how am I going to do anything? What's going on? I mean, how am I going to be able to serve the Lord anymore? Guess what? God's coming with you. You're not going to do it by yourself. And you know what? If God's coming with you, he's going to bring his people. I hadn't told all of you yet. Got a call a few weeks ago, asking, and the reason I hadn't told a couple people, but the reason I hadn't told everybody yet is because I wanted to make sure I figured everything out first, but I got a call a couple weeks ago asking, "Jay, can you bring a crew of guys to Vermont to help us start our men's ministry program in this state?" Well, I was like, "Well, I don't know." But you know what? After the last week of phone calls and talking to a few guys, I'm fixing to put a couple of y'all on notice. But we've got to remember to follow God's promise. We've got to remember God's promise. Last point I have here this morning is that we need to remember God's direction. Joshua 4:24 says, "This is so that the people of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is mighty, and so that you may know, always fear the Lord your God." Let me tell you this. Joshua says this later on in Joshua 24 when he's about to die. He says in Joshua 24:14, he says, "Therefore fear the Lord and worship him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods of your ancestors that your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt, and worship the Lord. But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today which you will worship, the gods of your ancestors worship beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're now living. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. We will worship the Lord. Look, we need to remember the Lord's direction. We need to remember the Lord's teaching. How do we do that? Well, we got to get in His Word. We got to open up His Word daily. That's how we remember it. You may be saying, but Jay, he was talking about in that verse you just read, he's talking about worshiping other gods. I don't worship other gods. Oh, yeah? Well, what you going to do during football season? Or baseball season? Or hunting season? Or when you want to go fishing? Or one night when you decide to binge 5 seasons of Andy Griffith all night long? And then, now I'm too tired to come to church because I sat up watching Andy Griffith all night. How about this? How about when it comes to giving the bounty of what God's given you? You decide to go on a trip, or you decide to spend it on some more stuff you don't need. What God are you going to worship then? He's saying these things so that all people would know that God is mighty to save. That we need to remember God's direction. He is powerful. He's active. He's moving in this world, and people should bow before Him in worship and service. What He wants the world to know is He wants the world to know His power. That's what He wants the world to know. Not simply His power to judge or to crush. He wants the world to know His power to save, His power to restore, His power to heal. That's what He wants us to remember. His power to sustain. He wants His people to live for Him. So that you may always fear the Lord your God. He tells us also to remember, we read already, He told us to sanctify ourselves for tomorrow. For tomorrow you will do wonders. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So what should we do? How should we respond to God's powerful action? How should we respond to His personal promise, His purposeful direction? Are we willing to remember and believe? Are we willing to remember and be here? Are we willing to remember and be strong? Are we willing to remember and remember that God is with us? It says this in Joshua, I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to establish a memorial to help us remember. To help us remember these things. It says this in Joshua 4, 1 through 3. It says, after the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, choose 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, take 12 stones from this place in the middle of the Jordan where the priests are standing. Carry them with you and set them down at the place where you spend the night. Why did He tell them to take them out of the middle of the Jordan? Anybody ever thought about that? Well, because that's usually covered up water. Nobody gets rocks out of there. There was only one time they could get rocks from the middle of the Jordan. If you'll notice, lots of times in the Old Testament, we see them mark things with rocks, right? That's a significant thing. We see that often in the Old Testament. The reason He's telling them to do that here is that what it says in Joshua 4, 6 through 7. It says, "So that this will be a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean to you?' You should tell them." So in the future, your children ask you, "Why is it so important for me to go to church every day?" You remember. Because that's where we worship the Lord. That's where we go to learn more about Him. That's where we serve the Lord. That's where we go and we spend time among other people who believe in the Lord, so that we can worship Him better, so that we can learn more about Him. And He says, "Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial." Let me ask you this. What are memorials? What are some memorials you've established in your life, and how do they help you remember? Let me ask you this: Do you remember? How do you remember when God saved you? Was it in this church? Was it in this baptistry, or was it another church and another baptistry? I remember the first time Pleasant Hill Baptist Church asked me. They said, "We need somebody to fill a pulpit over here." Man, I was so excited. Because when I was a little boy, that's where I got baptized. Was that little church. And I hadn't been there in years. And they called and asked me if I'd fill a pulpit for them. And I was so excited. I got there early. I walked back in the back and I looked in the pool. I sat on the front pew where Brother Lonnie led me to Jesus. Those are memorials. They help you remember. Is something tangible. And sometimes we need that to remind us. And sometimes we need that to remember. I can remember the spot out in the pasture out in front of my house in Prattville when I rededicated my life to Jesus. You know that little spot out there in the middle of that pasture, at 40-acre field? That's a memorial. I didn't put a rock up there or anything, but I remember. How do you remember? And look, let me tell you something. If you've forgotten what Christ did for you, you need to remember it today. And we've got an opportunity to remember it today. We've got an opportunity to pick up some rocks and pile them up just to remember, help remind us what Christ did for us. You know what the biggest memorial is to help remember what Jesus did for us? It's right up there, that cross. When you look at the cross, do you remember how He suffered? Do you remember the action that He took by taking on the punishment for our sin? Do you remember that? How He walked through the streets and was spat on and beaten. The action He took when He was nailed to the cross. Do you remember the promise that He made? Do you remember when He fulfilled that promise that He would be the sacrifice for our sin? Do you remember that? And if you're sitting here today and you've drifted away from Jesus, that's what you need to remember. It's time to come back to Him. Now, there may be one of you in here who don't know Jesus. You say, "Well, I don't have anything to remember." Well, guess what? Your memory can start right here today. You can surrender to Him. And then you can forever remember that day in Selaclan Baptist Church that the Holy Spirit spoke to me and that Jesus came into my life. And you can hold on to that memory and remember Him. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank You for remembering us. We thank You, Jesus, that You became the ultimate sacrifice for us. And we ask You, Father, there's one that's in here today who doesn't know you, that they would surrender their life to you. We ask you, Father, if there's one who has drifted away from you, that they would come back today, that they would consecrate themselves and draw them, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to draw them into you. Show us how to remember you, Lord. For us in Jesus' name. Let's sing.
Hymn number 300.